the plan we all think of, the state has something called self-managed plan, which happens to be what I'm in, which means I contribute to a TIAA CREF, say, or something like that. And the state more or less matches that contribution. And I don't know if the new law changed the upper bound at which that match goes to that same 107 number. It did? Okay, so that's not, I thought that might be an answer, but it's not an answer. That's limited as well, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say the public mission of the university would call on us to serve the veterans population, which right. I think is, you know, something that we all want to do as individuals, but and are lucky that we're an institution that is required, I think, by its mission to do that. So I think one way or the other, we're going to continue to serve the veterans. But I think we're going to look to Lauren Taylor and the alumni groups to enlighten the state about its commitments, not only to the veterans, but to higher ed as well.
Yeah, it's now with the new federal program, it could be an add-on much easier, and the veterans would still win. But it would take a difficult vote.
Mina, go ahead, Chris.
I think Mina had something that she'd like to ask.
I just want to comment on two things that both mentioned today. One is when we're talking about pension, we have to remember that employees of the University of Illinois do not contribute to Social Security. So for a number of people who have been here for a long time, when you talk about pension reform, there is no contribution to Social Security. The other thing is when we're looking at the slide behind you, you know, comparing institutions, well, it's good to look at cost of living increases. For example, in the Chicago campus, the IBHE group did not include our local competitors. And our local competitors very often are the privates like Northwestern and UIC, this has been, and University of Chicago, and this has been an special issue with respect to faculty, for the diversity faculty. We recruit them to UIC, they get settled into the area, and then Northwestern and University of Chicago sort of recruit them away from us because they have much better packages to offer. So we need to keep those in mind as well. Thank you.
Very good point. If there are no further questions, Mr. Chairman, we'll end another very brief presentation from the audit committee.
Great. Thank you, Ed. Very well done.
Thanks to all for the presentations.
I think we're a little out of order on one or two items, but it's probably appropriate to break now.
Right. I think we'll break for lunch in an executive session. The board will have a working executive session. We'll come back, and with profound apologies to Chancellor Paula Allen Mears, we will invite her to bring a report from the campus that might have come 3 hours ago.
I think it would be helpful to have a motion to go into executive session. I think there's some litigation that we need to discuss. There probably
some minutes as well. Michelle, I'm sorry, in discussion, closed session,
yes, I'm sorry. Okay, as stated, so can we get a motion for those three?
So moved.
Second, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you.
We got brain dead.
Yeah. I want to apologize to the audience once again for the tremendous delay, believe me, we would have preferred to have been out here with you rather than discussing litigation with Tom. We no skipped offense, over maybe some welcoming comments from Paula, and you know, we are on your campus, and we appreciate the great hospitality you extend to all of us as guests, and it would be nice to know what's going on here and give us a little sense of what's happening on the campus. Thank you very much.
It is indeed my pleasure to welcome members of the Board of Trustees, President Eikenberry, and honored guests to our campus. On behalf of the UIC family, I'd like to extend a heartfelt note of appreciation to President Eikenberry and Mrs. Eikenberry for their leadership and great affinity for this institution. I fell in love with Voltaire many years ago, and there's a wonderful quote that reflects upon leadership, and I'm dedicating this remark to you, Stanley Eikenberry. I've had a hard time calling President Eikenberry Stanley, and one day he said, "I'm Stanley." I just couldn't do that. But nonetheless, from Voltaire, "The right of commanding is no longer an advantage transmitted by nature like an inheritance, It is the fruit of labors and the price of courage. And during your time here as president, you have used your intellectual capacity to direct this institution, and you have acted courageously. And I just want to thank you on behalf of the UIC family. Thank you.
Whatever else it is you want, my answer is yes.
But anyway, let me get back to my notes here. I have a very comprehensive presentation, and I've decided to forego it and to yield to Dr. Garcia. Dr. Garcia is our new Vice Chancellor for Research, and he has been busily creating a vision for our research program at UIC. And I'm going to introduce him in just a moment, but before I do that, I want to call your attention to the pamphlet that's at your place setting. I want you all, if you can, to come to the Minority and Female Business Enterprise Conference to be held on our campus June 16th. Our keynote speaker is quite famous. His name is Lawrence Oliver II, Trustee Lawrence Oliver II. And last year we were graced by Trustee Francis Carroll, who gave the welcome and stayed and talked with many of the participants. So you're all welcome. Now, to our Vice Chancellor for Research, Dr. Garcia. Dr. Garcia is the leading authority on the genetic basis of lung disease and the prevention and treatment of inflammatory lung injury. He has held endowed chairs at the University of Chicago and Johns Hopkins. He has averaged more than one research publication every 3 weeks, over his entire career. In searching for the right candidate, we, of course, wanted someone who was an excellent scholar and had a proven record of grant procurement. And he met all those criteria. So without further ado, I welcome Dr. Garcia, better known as Skip. Can I say that?
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Chancellor. And let me say, I very much welcome the opportunity here to share our goals and aspirations with the board. I've been here at UIC for now 3 to 4 months, and I have to say that I've been very much touched by the warm welcome that I and members of my research group have received upon our arrival. This is an extremely collegial and exciting environment here. What I thought I might do is, at the beginning here, just to give you a little overview of a few of the activities of the Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research. I'm sure much of this information is well known to the board, but in addition to the processing of nearly 4,000 grant applications per year by our Office of Research Services, the Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research also has regulatory and compliance oversight for a number of issues, including academic integrity, conflict of interest, animal care, and institutional biosafety, and importantly, for the protection of research subjects. Our Office for the Protection of Research Subjects actually is comprised of a number of extremely dedicated and very talented faculty and staff, and I wanted the board to be aware that this was recognized more recently last month by the AHRQ Accreditation Committee that reviewed our program and cited our program for the outstanding quality that they provide and gave us full accreditation. An accomplishment that is not shared by any other institution in Chicagoland. Now, in addition to these activities, of course, we are very focused on enhancing the research productivity in the portfolio at the university. And to that effect, there are obviously a number of metrics which one could gauge success of an institution in the research mission. Well, I think one important metric that reflects the breadth and depth of our research faculty is, in fact, our ability to gather funds from the American Recovery and Investment Act. This pie chart here shows the intensity and research prowess of our faculty, which is not only reflected by the magnitude of this funding, which is a little over $75 million, but also by the breadth of the research portfolio, in that nearly every college on our campus has in fact received funds from the ERA funding initiative. Now, on this particular slide, I've attempted to depict our total research dollars which are awarded to UIC over the past 14 years. And I think one observation that one can readily see is that over the first 7-8 years from fiscal year 97 to 03-04, you see that UIC had substantial improvement and increases in their total research dollars, nearly a doubling of our research portfolio. Probably a little bit more sobering is the trend over the last several years. You can see that there's been a flattening of this trajectory. And I think it's this flattening of the trajectory that has caused us to think strategically about how we might approach enhancing our research mission at UIC. And to that end, we've developed a series of scholarship and discovery goals, the first of which is probably not going to be any surprise to anyone here, is that we really think that it's important to increase our recognition, not only externally and nationally, but also internally for our high-quality research programs. This is a large, diverse campus, and I think it's sometimes difficult for our faculty to know just how exciting all the work that's going on campus, and increasing that knowledge and awareness, I think, is an important goal. Our second goal is embedded in the fact that I think we would all recognize that there are absolutely very few funding streams to support research. And one funding stream that I think is underutilized, not only I think at UIC, but also at other institutions that I've been at, is this is the revenue stream generated through faculty disclosures, discoveries, and intellectual property, which increase license revenue. So we have a specific goal of working with the Office of Tech Management to increase and facilitate these disclosures and increase this potential license revenue stream. Now, the third goal, I think, is a very important goal. In that, we need to, because of our broad research portfolio, I think it's important for us to identify the key themes in that which UIC wants to put a stake in the ground and say we're going to be absolutely the best at. I think this is important because resources are at times very limited, and we want to make the very best use of those resources. So to that end, we've developed three themes that we think are broadly inclusive, but also capture some of the excitement and ongoing research expertise within our campus, so that in several years from now, 3 to 5 years from now, if someone asks UIC faculty, someone asks our board members, someone asks anyone nationally, what is UIC really great at, they will be able to say they are spectacular in urban resilience, global environment, they're terrific in biomedical discovery, and they're absolutely leaders, national leaders in community disparities. I also think that by the time that we have implemented a number of the programs we are currently have in play, that we will also be known as the model, national model, for the training of unrepresented minorities for an academic research career. So I just want to just very briefly, through a couple of slides, give a few points about these three broad research themes, the first of which is the urban resilience and global environment. This theme is meant to capture the ongoing expertise and success that we've had in sustainable energy research, in urban transportation, and in state-of-the-art visualization technologies, of course, leveraging our Great Cities Institute and similar institutes within this domain. Similarly, our success in biomedical discovery is extensive. We have biomedical researchers that are generating new information and new strategies that are affecting the way we think about healthcare delivery in breast cancer and colon cancer and prostate cancer, as well as many other domains, including cardiovascular disease, in diabetes and transplantation, HIV infection, and neurodegenerative diseases like Huntington's and Alzheimer's. And these activities, I think, are important. We're going to create additional multidisciplinary teams that can promote this type of research, which actually will advantage our third thing, which is community disparities. We're actually very strong already in this domain of community disparities, which ranges from a spectrum which includes social justice, economic and educational disparities, and of course, healthcare disparities. I think the board obviously knows that our institution has had a very long-standing commitment to the care of the medically underserved and to susceptible populations. I really think that, however, for us to fully engage and affect the care and reducing disparities requires that we employ some of the tools that have been generated through the mapping of the human genome. I think you recognize these two individuals, Craig Venter and Francis Collins, who through the mapping of the genome led to a new age of molecular medicine. If we're going to clearly reduce healthcare disparities, we have to have increasing understanding of the genetic basis.